In that case, we'll move on to Houston. I understand Susan Young is going to be presenting for Dwayne, who's accepting an award somewhere.
All my paper that I had on my desk.
We need you to be on the mic. And given that you're ill, you might want to take the mic, the windscreen off so the other people don't.
Yeah.
If she talks into that windscreen and other people speak as close as they have to it, they might get ill. So it would be better to use it without the windscreen.
Avian flu starts here. Okay, I thought that maybe might do sort of a combo of GM and LSB, and I'm sure that the PNB members will chime in too. Dwayne is at the he is at the 2005 public radio station Keeping the Blues Alive Award with the Memphis-based organization, the Blues Foundation. And so I think that's really exciting. Additionally, KPFT has been nominated as by the Texas Academy of Music for Radio Station of the Year, and two of our DJs have been nominated for DJs of the Year. Our winter fun drive starts in February. We ended December 30th, 2005, with over $360,000, 26% of our FY06 budget, apparently, so I believe we're pretty much on target. Plant improvements. A lot of the plant improvements that got done at KPFT are done by our volunteers. And accessibility work that's been done has been done by volunteers. An accessible bathroom, which, by the way, is now the preferred bathroom, and a ramp. There is now a roof over the porch in the back. Our color has really gone to sort of a tasteful lime green. So the place is getting a lot of loving hands at home. We still have hanging over our heads the Harris County Appraisal District Review Board question about the treatment of the tax exemption. According to the appraisal district, not according to 501c3 that we're dealing with, and February 1 is another date on that for us. We have hired, and I can't remember what the date was in relationship to when you met with us last, but we just hired a program director. We had 53 applications. Have finaled down by the LSB to 6 finalists. 4 were interviewed, and Ernesto Aguilar was selected as the permanent program director. We have named a program council. It is continuing to meet. The program council has 4 listener members, 4 LSB members, 4 staff members, and the PD. When it was originally comprised, it was 7 persons of color and 7 women. And if you saw a Venn diagram, there was not complete overlap on that. There have been people, because they have been meeting very, very frequently, there are people who have gone off of that, and we had successions in each of those categories, so new people have come on. They have made recommendations over things like individual policies and procedures. They are working on a sort of comprehensive review of the grid, and I anticipate that they're going to be coming forward with criteria that they will recommend about how to consider program changes. We also have had, and this is really as LSB chair, I think we are working on improving how the effectiveness of our meetings, the effectiveness of our own sort of meeting skills. I brought in a parliamentarian for a period of time. We have a couple of people on the board who have a lot of parliamentary experience. I was not one of them, and I think it helped us streamline our meetings better and get through some difficult times. But nevertheless, in this last year, basically this last year, we've had 9 board members resign. And I think that is very bad. And of those, I have to count on my fingers, but 4 or 5 are persons of color. So a lot of the difficulty, there's a high price to be paid for the difficulties that we're having learning how to work together effectively. We have the staff person, we've run out of people who are in the succession, so we are going back, and we will be having an election on February 15th of someone to fill the staff person vacancy. I was very, very encouraged. There are wonderful, wonderful people who have stepped forward, who have expressed their interest to run very vigorously, bring a lot to the party, and represent a real diversity of communities. So I'm optimistic about that. We had a cab that was up and running and was very effective. They wore themselves out, and we have to rename the cab. But again, I think we have some people who have expressed a strong interest in helping the station and in finding a way to do that through the cab. So that's what I have to say. And I'm sure that all my colleagues on the board can pitch in. Oh, let me just say, would you, Lonnie, can you put up the, there, Obadike Kamau, who is the other half of
it's
the...
It's up there.
Is that? Okay, great. I can't see. But anyway, Obadike was featured in the Houston Chronicle, that left wing rag, and we're very, very proud of it. It was wonderful that he got that visibility for him and for us.
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, thanks, Susan, for that report. Two questions. One is about the program changes that were made last spring, and that we've actually had a fair amount of discussion at two board meetings in a row, and the last one in Houston. There were a good number of people who were very upset by it, and it certainly raised some major questions in my mind about mission fulfillment in the wake of those changes. The morning lineup and the handout that we've just gotten seems to confirm that until 8 a.m., doesn't seem to be any news or public affairs. And then from 8 to 9, there's BBC, and there's a lot of questions about what is the slant and perspective put forward by that as opposed to some of the progressive newscasts. And then in the evening, I know Free Speech Radio News was moved to a time that is further away from drive time. And anyway, I don't want to go through all the changes, but my question to you, because I asked this of Dwayne Bradley last time, is from the LSB's perspective, and you mentioned there's a new program council, what is their position on that round of changes? And also taking away Democracy Now! From a very high listener time.
Democracy Now!, let me remind you, plays twice in the day, one at 9, once at 9 o'clock in the morning, and once at 6 o'clock in the morning, in the evening, and the 6 o'clock has a great deal of listenership. I know that there are many in our community and many who are on our board who felt that if it were not aired at 7 o'clock, that any other time was not adequate. There's some disagreement about that among us. The program council, to my knowledge, they have held a series of quarterly meetings. They're seeking input from programmers. They're doing they're looking at programming across the various networks, and I anticipate that they will be coming forward with ideas and recommendations, not just about those, but all sorts of things, and that will be probably the start of a dialogue. We are inventing the process of how you use a program council. And so they're trying to figure out what their role is. It was designed as a management committee. That's one option. Doesn't have to be that. It's actually sunsetted and it's been extended. We're looking to see if we are going to continue this organization the way that it is now. That's a decision that has to be made jointly by the LSB and the general manager. So all of those things are in the works. The fund drives have met goal. So from the standpoint of concern over financial impact, I think that we're in a steadier place. 50% of our programming is public affairs and news.
Okay, and my second question is, just can you tell us what the Committee of Inclusion has been doing in the last few months? What
type?
That's it.
Thank you.
Can you answer that question about the Committee of Inclusion?
We're reconstituting the Committee of Inclusion. Ngozi Kamau resigned. Yolanda Birdwell Garza resigned. So one of the things that has been a difficulty with all of the board resignations is keeping the committees up and running in an effective way.
We have Ken, Alan, Sarv, Lydia, Lisa, and Ray. And we have about another 10 minutes, so if everyone can be about 90 seconds.
I want to say that listening to this report, I'm reminded of why I raised the original objection to local station board chairs giving reports that were not vetted by the boards. I would disagree with almost entirely, no, I can't say everything, but many of the things that Susan has said here, I would disagree with. We're hearing spin from a particular perspective. It all sounds very nice. Makes me wish I was part of the board. Wait a minute, I am part of the board. But that's not what's going on in our board, and that's not what's going on in our station, in my view. So having said that, I'd like to ask Susan if she would agree that the program council, as it's called, which is a committee of management, correct me if I'm wrong, has not been meeting in any way that's open or available to the public to view the deliberations of the board, and since its inception in April, has not produced a single concrete programming change in KPFT's programming, especially anything that would address what many of us on the board, I won't say the majority, but many of us on the board, consider to be the egregious changes made by management in May that stripped our programming of almost entirely all of the alternative world programming, world news programming that was on the air. Would you agree or disagree with that point?
The program council has, to my knowledge, made a few program changes. I'm not sure which, but very few preemptions for special activities. And for instance, when Louis Farrakhan was in town. The Million Man March preparations.
What about changes in programming, please?
Changes in programming. I do not believe that they have made any yet.
Thank you. I just wanted that statement.
Thank you. I will respond to your question.
I would hope so.
Thank you, and I'm continuing to do so.
Excuse me. Hang on a second. This kind of exchange in that tone breaks the decorum of the body. Your questions may be pointed, but that kind of back and forth isn't welcome. It's going to cause some problems. I'd ask both of you to please be respectful of each other.
Thank you. What they have wanted to do was to come out with something that was more holistic. They have not had the opportunity to do that. The board as a whole, I believe, does not want to turn over a holistic change to a group where there has not been a public process. So I think that a next step is a public process.
We're limited on time, so I'm going to go to Alan, and I apologize that went on so long. Alan?
I mean, I'll pick this up with the people from KPFT. I've never studied your programming grid so much, but is This American Life the NPR show? Is that what that is?
We got it before they did.
Okay. And then the BBC, are you the only outlet in Houston to broadcast? And what is that? It just says BBC. Is it BBC World News?
Yes, BBC World News, and then also we have the headlines. We're the only outlet for it in Houston.
And I take it that both of those shows don't fundraise for KPFT?
We raise money on them.
On them? But, yeah, okay. That's a bit of levity.
Sarv?
Thank you, Susan, for your report and a lot of good work you guys are doing there. When you said there were 9 LSB members resigned, was that within the last year?
Yes,
I see. Now, you know, from outside, I don't know the details of it, but it sounds like a stunning revelation to me. And if I know it's very difficult to tell why each person resigned, they might have their own particular reasons. But if you were to categorize in kind of a general sort of a way, is there any way you could get an impression what the reason could be, possibly? Why so many of them?
I would imagine that each of the, it would be interesting to hear, you might want to hear from each of the PNB representatives from T. I believe that the level of board dissension, the length and frequency of meetings, the inability to accomplish things, lack of consensus about how to work together are very, very discouraging to everyone, and I think particularly to those whose jobs or families do not permit them to spend a lot of time.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Next, Lydia, then Lisa, then Ray.
yes, if your program council is not working at totally functioning at this point. Who made the changes in May that stripped some of that other programming and the public affairs type of programming? And also, do you have another board mechanism to address programming to help compensate for that? I know at KPFK we have a program council that went through some of the same changes, right? Took a long time. But we also had a programming oversight committee with, on the LSB that dealt with, some issues. And so, I must say, I am concerned about cutting back on some of the programming that was cut back.
Dwayne Bradley made the decisions and made the changes. And he did that shortly before the program council got started. He did it at a time that there were two fund drives that had not performed up to target. And I think that we have had a huge, I think that the disputes that infect all of our activities these days have followed that program change and have not resolved. There are three other program committees of the LSB. One of them is the Program Policy Committee, and Ken chairs that. One of them is the Program Evaluation Committee, and Program Policy comes up with like, what does it mean? I mean, peace statements. Ken can address those things better than I can. The Program Evaluation Committee that evaluates individual programs and takes input, and the World News and Public Affairs Committee ad hoc that was organized originally to look at the question of whether BBC was the right programming for us and whether there were good alternatives.
We have Lisa and then Ray. We have four more minutes left.
Actually, Sarv touched on what I wanted to talk about, but I'll still go into it a little bit more. And also, I hope you feel better, because I know it's not easy being here and being sick. He said spreading germs, but I hope you feel better for your own sake. I'm not afraid of germs. Right. I just wanted to be clear that I understood this a little bit more about nine resignations from the LSB. Is that what we're talking about? Now, did I hear you say that many of them or most of them were people of color or just in general people resigning?
About half are people of color. Yolanda Ngozi, George Tenet, Carla Aguilar, Yolanda Birdwell.
I was just wondering in terms of what kind of outreach is going on from your station in terms of reaching out to people in the community, because it's just also very startling when you hear that going on, and it just goes to show how much internal work that we have to do as an organization and also individually, because we call ourselves left, supposedly, of the people up the street, and we know that there are some very, very serious issues going on here that really... there's just no need for it in my... I don't know what's going on, but just from some of the things that I've observed. So I would just like to know if you can speak about some of the outreach that's going on in your community to try to make people aware of the need to have all kinds of people on the board and to support in the...
Well, I got to tell you, I think that outreach is hollow when the board meetings are so unpleasant and when the committee meetings are so unpleasant. What I find when we do have people come to our very last board meeting, we had one woman got up and she was complaining that the upcoming fund drive was going to be occurring during Black History Month and had a real difficulty with that. And we were having one of the better board meetings we've ever had. And she said, no one wants to attend this.
Ray.
Yeah, well, many of the questions I asked, I wanted to ask, we ask also. I have a question about the ratio of music shows vis-a-vis other form of programming. A show such as Border Crossing, I'm assuming that's not a music show. Or
Border
Sister
Crossings
Space.
Is not a, no, uh-uh.
So where is there any impetus to to do a shift, or because I understand at some point that decision played, especially during the coup or during that period, where that the majority of programs were about music, and that some of them were even connected to commercial, you know, individual being paid to play specific numbers or type of music. What, who's pushing for change to introduce dialogue and discussion about issues concerning the, you know, different, the community and international issues and how they impact on us and so on?
Well,
and this has to be less than 60 seconds.
Okay, great. We put it back to you. We did a little analysis in a retreat of all of the programming and measured it against quality. And it was all board members, against quality and mission. And virtually all of the programs, I'd say 90% of them, were in the upper quadrant for quality and mission. The disagreement comes into the percentages and the location and schedule.
Okay. Thanks very much, Susan.